Flooding will be the biggest threat we face from Hurricane Idalia, but it's not the only threat. Wind gusts, tornadoes, and storm surge. I'll walk you through what you can expect in the next 48 hours and beyond.
We're here in Ocean Isle Beach in Brunswick County as the town and residents are preparing for tropical storm force winds and potential flooding rain. We've got warnings from town officials.
Then we're live with investigators as they search for the gun used to kill a professor on UNC's campus, where they're looking for the weapon. Plus, we're examining how well the emergency response worked to keep students safe during lockdown. Tonight, we are following several updates. One day after a professor was killed on UNC's campus, the suspect, a doctoral student, made his first court appearance today.
Investigators are still searching for the gun that was used, and the community is making plans to honor that professor's life. We are going to get into all the details of that story in just a moment. But first, we begin with Hurricane Idalia, expected to slam into Florida's Gulf Coast tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. Taking a look at the Category 2 storm right now, it is expected to bring heavy rain and flooding to North Carolina, with most of our area under a flood watch. We have live team coverage of the impacts from our coast all the way down to Florida ahead of the landfall.
We want to begin with meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Kat, we're going to be watching the activity on the radar for a bit now.
Yes, we are. And we have some storms out there right now to get to first. These storms are intense. Some 50 mile per hour wind gusts possible as the storms close in on both Chapel Hill and Durham. A lot of lightning, and this is going to be a torrential downpour and some lighter rain and lightning headed for Wake County. And parts of Cumberland County, including Fort Liberty, remain under a flash flood warning until 9 o'clock. Let's take a look at Florida's radar, though, lighting up with these outer rain bands from Idalia. We're seeing some intense rain move ashore there, and it's only going to pick up in intensity overnight into tomorrow morning. A Category 2 hurricane as it moves to the north at about 15 miles per hour, likely to make landfall as a Category 3 around 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. It will be a tropical storm as it moves along the Carolina coast, though, as we get into early Thursday, slowing down as it moves offshore. Tropical storm watches and warnings have been posted for the North Carolina coast. The warning here is in blue, and our watches are new this afternoon. At 5 o'clock, we had those issued, extending all the way up into Virginia. As for the timing, as I mentioned, the landfall is tomorrow morning. We'll see it move into Georgia and weaken throughout the early afternoon, with the rain bands reaching North Carolina tomorrow evening. We'll see the intensity of the rain really picking up tomorrow night, and some of the heaviest rain may fall while you're sleeping into early Thursday morning. It's looking like a messy morning commute on Thursday with heavy rain, but by lunchtime into the afternoon, the rain begins to lighten up on Thursday and eventually move out of here. Flooding is our primary concern. A flood watch in effect for most of us through Thursday night. 2 to 5 inches of rain will be possible. And one of our concerns is how Idalia interacts with this front, only helping to enhance rainfall. I'll have more on those projected totals coming up.
All right, Kat, thank you. And of course, we are your place for this coverage. Look for more team coverage of Hurricane Idalia and the impacts coming up in just a few minutes.
Right now, the FBI is searching for the gun used to kill a lab professor on UNC's campus. Classes are canceled for another day tomorrow as the Carolina community copes with this tragedy. The accused shooter and student, Tylee Shee, made his first appearance in court this afternoon. He showed no emotion as the judge read the charges against him: first-degree murder and possessing a gun on educational property. Shee will remain in custody. In the last couple of hours, we learned he could face more charges. And as investigators search for that weapon, they're also looking for a motive. WREL's Aaron Thomas is live where that search is happening and where that arrest unfolded yesterday. Aaron?
Yeah, Ashley, we're here on Williams Circle. This area remains a critical part of the investigation. Not only is it where the suspect was taken into custody, but also just within the past 30 minutes, we saw FBI teams and a K-9 searching this road and the surrounding area for that gun used in the shooting on UNC's campus. In fact, take a look at your screen right now. This is the moment that we saw that team of investigators with their dog searching a trail on Reed Road. That's just feet away from where we are now, and this is feet away from where they took Tylee Shee into custody. Based on the search area, crews are progressively working their way from this scene towards the university. UNC's police chief Brian James notes finding this weapon remains a priority.
The firearm used in yesterday's shooting has not been recovered. We continue a thorough search for the firearm and any additional evidence.
Now, at this point, investigators have not revealed a motive into the shooting, how many shots were fired into this lab, or how the suspect, Chi, obtained this weapon in the first place. Coming up at 10 on Fox 50, we're going to be speaking with a legal expert about how critical it is for investigators to find this weapon. Ashley?
Okay. Aaron Thomas, live in Chapel Hill. Thank you.
In the meantime, the university plans to honor the professor, Su Jie Yen, by ringing a bell at the bell tower at 1:03 p.m. tomorrow. That will be followed by a moment of silence. Flowers and the model of a molecule are part of a growing memorial to the scientist and researcher at the base of the bell tower. Yen joined UNC's Department of Applied Physical Sciences in 2019, had his own research group in that Caudill lab in the building where he was shot. They were doing research into the interaction of light and matter, including how it can be used to improve drug delivery in human cells. Yen had a wife and two daughters, just 2 and 7 years old. In the aftermath of yesterday's shooting, students and staff are processing a range of emotions, of course, and also taking a hard look at how emergency protocols worked yesterday. WRAL's Monica Casey has been digging into the security measures in place now in UNC buildings and whether the people who live and work in them believe they're safe enough.
UNC Chapel Hill's campus is eerily quiet. Students and staff we've spoken with are struggling to come to terms with this tragedy. UNC police say the first sirens began just 2 minutes after the 911 call about shots fired in Caudill Labs. Students then spent hours hunkering in place. Some parents have told WRAL off camera their children told them classroom doors were difficult or impossible to lock. UNC has a 2018 online guide showing how to lock at least 5 different door types. Professor Rebecca Kreitzer tells WRAL she believes the university's guidance is too broad.
Some of the guidance, like stay away from windows and barricade entrance doors, is not necessarily something that you can do in all of the different teaching spaces on campus.
Kreitzer wants more specialized training to deal with these types of situations.
I think that there could be more training or guidance that's given to faculty members beyond just saying, here's a website with information.
In a news conference, UNC Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz emphasized the existence of QR codes in each classroom with individualized information about each site. UNC Chief of Police Brian James also pointed to the variety of spaces on campus.
We also do a number of security surveys where we go to specific buildings, and we do get a number of requests because the buildings are unique. I don't know that there are two buildings on this campus that are the same.
James says there are lessons to be learned from the shooting.
We will go back and look at anything that we could have done better, and we'll make sure that it doesn't ever repeat itself.
In Chapel Hill, Monica Casey, WRAL News.
A student-led vigil and call to action will be held at 9 o'clock tonight in the Pit on campus. Then tomorrow night, a university-sponsored vigil will be held. That's at 7:30 as the community remembers the victim's life. You can also hear from his mentor tonight at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and at 11 on WRAL.
Now back to another major story, Hurricane Idalia. We have crews at our coast and waiting for its landfall in Florida. Let's begin with meteorologist Amy Wilmoth live in Cedar Key, Florida, after driving there in the WRAL storm tracker. Amy, what are you seeing right now? The winds seem to be increasingly whipping up.
What a difference 30 minutes makes. The last time I was on air, it was pretty quiet. We had maybe 10 mile an hour winds. Winds are now, I just checked the storm tracker, the weather station on the storm tracker. We had a wind gust at 36 miles per hour. Still under tropical storm force winds, but the winds are picking up. It's now raining and we have white caps on the ocean. Earlier, it was a little bit more of a gentle look here on the ocean. Folks here at Cedar Key definitely making some last minute preps this morning. The restaurant just down the way from us, we spoke to one of the owners of the restaurant said that they went through Hermine and now they're having to prep for yet another storm. Take a listen.
We have moved everything from our first floor to our second floor, only to know that maybe it'll be in the second floor too. And then if it's a category 3, we worry about the roof being torn off.
Right. With Hermine, it was a Category 1 hurricane. This is forecasted to be a Category 3 hurricane with a storm surge that's twice as high, perhaps, compared to Hermine. So they're definitely doing what they can here to prepare. But you also see a lot of doors and windows completely open. We can only assume that that's just so that the water that does rush in can also rush out. So folks here, again, preparing. Things are starting to get worse here. It will continue to deteriorate overnight tonight as this storm makes landfall tomorrow morning. We'll continue to track this storm as it makes its way through Georgia, then South Carolina, and then into North Carolina. We'll have more live reports starting tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, we look forward to speaking with you. Can you imagine just the nervous anticipation, wondering if your roof is going to come off? Right. Amy Wilmoth, live in Florida in the WREL Storm Tracker. Thank you.
Amy mentioned the path. You know it well at this point. We will feel the impacts here in North Carolina. So we sent some crews to the coast. WREL's Chelsea Donovan covering the storm from Brunswick County. She's live at Ocean Isle Beach for us tonight, where a tropical storm watch is in effect. Chelsea.
Yeah, actually a tropical storm warning now, Dan. It's a beautiful evening here on Ocean Isle Beach in Brunswick County. You can see many of probably Labor Day weekend vacationers coming out and sort of playing in the surf, getting some shells. If you take a look, though, over to my right, you can see the Ocean Isle Pier, also busy this time of night, but you can see those waves really churning up. That's likely possibly a product of Franklin that's out at sea. But like you mentioned, we are now under a tropical storm warning here, and you wouldn't know it with this beautiful beach day, but you can see those waves increasing in size. However, Hurricane Idaia now on the minds of town officials here. They're already preparing residents for the south-facing beaches for tropical storm impacts as early as tomorrow night into Thursday. They are ready for those tropical storm force winds and flooding that could be exacerbated by the king tides that are happening through this week. This could mean an increase in storm surge here, according to the town, but also impact those residents on the sound side or the canal side here, specifically in Ocean Isle Beach. Now, the town is asking all of the residents to remove anything they have outside that could be airborne or anything on their ground floor levels that could possibly be impacted by that potential low-lying flooding and storm surge. But again, right now, just a beautiful night. You wouldn't know that conditions would be deteriorating over the next 24 to 48 hours. But folks are really starting to heed the warning here, especially with the school system here in Brunswick County. They're dismissing classes early tomorrow and closing for the day on Thursday. Yeah. We're live in Ocean Isle Beach. We'll send things back to you.
They know what a hurricane can do to our area. Chelsea Donovan live in Ocean Isle. Thanks, Chelsea. Do want to remind everybody at home, what a great time to download the WREL weather app. You can get alerts straight to your phone. Take the radar with you anywhere you go. It's free wherever you get your apps.
Not to make light of it, but they were pretty intense looking for those seashells. Did
you
see them
well,
on the beach there?
Enjoy the good times while they last
exactly.
out there.
Exactly. Coming up, Pfizer has started releasing some of its products from Rocky Mount. An update on the Rocky Mount facility's recovery effort more than a month after the tornado.
Plus, it has been 1 year since a local man was stabbed to death in Atlantic Beach. And still, that murder is unsolved. How the family is pushing for answers and the changes going into place because of the crime. It was on this date last year, a man from Apex was stabbed in Atlantic Beach as he was getting ready for a fishing trip with friends.
Randall Miller's murder was the first in Atlantic Beach in a decade. 1 year later, the case is still unsolved. WREL reporter Liz McLaughlin spoke with the family, still searching for answers.
Yes. Yeah, if I was 16, he was 17.
Sue Miller's high school romance led to more than four decades of marriage.
He was a great guy. He was the love of my life.
The past 12 months, filled with painful days of learning how to live alone for the first time.
I was a very faithful person, but it just, at times, I keep thinking, why? Why me, you know?
1 year since her husband, Randy Miller, was murdered, stabbed as he was getting ready to go fishing in Atlantic Beach.
Not a day goes by that, you know, you don't have some memory come up and you don't think of Randy. He's always in my thoughts.
Rick Seifer is one of the friends gathered at Sue's house to commemorate the tragic anniversary. Unsettled that Randy's killer has never been found.
I'm a little frustrated with the law enforcement.
The State Bureau of Investigation and Atlantic Beach Police have been searching for the men in these videos. and a silver sedan tied to the case without any major leads.
So we'll look into anything that we can get, but right now there's just nothing concrete.
With a $55,000 reward in the case, police are urging anyone with information to report it.
And I hope that I hope somebody comes forward. Somebody knows something. Somebody knows something.
As Randy's memory lives on through the people who love him. Liz McLaughlin, WREL News.
Oh, so hard for the family. If you know anything, call Atlantic Beach Police or Crime Stoppers. And Pfizer getting closer to normal operations after the tornado ripped through part of its site in Rocky Mount last month. A number of areas in the facility are operational, although the pharmaceutical company is still using a temporary warehouse to store product. A statement from Pfizer says the company has started releasing its products that were not impacted by the tornado. Those products are going to distribution centers. Pfizer does not say what those products are.
We take a live look now. This is Marco Island in Florida behind us on that Gulf Coast awaiting Hurricane Idalia. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now. We aren't seeing any impacts, of course, from the hurricane yet, but we do have our own batch of weather making its way through our area now.
And, you know, we're worried about all the rain that Idalia is likely to bring North Carolina. Some areas are already dealing with some flood advisories, even flash flood warnings tonight. So let's take a look at our local radar. We've got an intense thunderstorm moving through Chapel Hill. That's headed for Durham. Some rain moving into Wake County. A little bit of lightning, and it's a steady rain, but not quite the storm that Chapel Hill is dealing with right now. And we continue to see additional showers and storms around Cumberland County, only adding to the flooding threat down there, where there is a flash flood warning in effect for Fort Liberty until 9 o'clock. Our storm chances 60% through 9 o'clock, 50% through midnight, and then tapering off after that. Let's take a closer look, though, at our flooding risk tomorrow. We've got a lot more rain on the way, especially as we get to this time tomorrow evening and into tomorrow night. That's when the rain really begins to pick up across the area. The flooding risk was updated today to high for our southern counties, including Fayetteville down to the coast. This is one of the reasons why tomorrow and Thursday are WREL weather alert days. Here in Wake County, we are expecting a medium flooding risk. That also includes Wilson, Rocky Mount, a lower or more isolated risk in our northern counties. And let's talk about how much rain we could see. It could be a significant amount of rain, especially for the coastal plain and the coast, where there could be some areas that see up to 8 inches of rain in these rain bands that pass through from Idalia. We're also going to be watching a front nearby that may help to enhance some of these rain totals. And that's why we bumped up totals closer to 3 to 6 inches south and east of Raleigh, and still around the triangle, 1 to 3 inches of rain possible. Zooming in on some of the model estimates, the rainfall estimates, about 1 to 3 inches for the triangle, Rocky Mount, south and east of the triangle, 3 to 6 inches possible, perhaps 5 in Fayetteville, and lower totals in our northern communities. The latest track for Hurricane Idalia, still a Category 3 major hurricane at landfall in the morning. For us, as it passes by the North Carolina coast, right along the coastline, should be a tropical storm with winds of about 50 to 60 miles per hour. The strongest winds would be closest to the center of the storm. However, we are likely to see tropical storm force winds extend throughout much of the North Carolina coast and perhaps the coastal plain as well. Something important to note, over the weekend, we're likely to see the storm slowing down in the Atlantic, and that's going to churn up rough surf for us throughout the holiday weekend. So I expect dangerous rip currents to last through the weekend for beaches. Keep that in mind if you are traveling for Labor Day. The severe weather threat lining up closely to that forecast track, keeping the greater concern for severe weather closer to the North Carolina coast. Our risk for anything rotating, an isolated tornado, would be pretty low here in our viewing area. We'll let you know if that changes. Futurecast bringing Hurricane ashore as a Category 3 Idalia tomorrow morning around 7 to 9 a.m. for landfall. For us, some of the heaviest rain may come on Thursday morning, but I want to show you the weekend. Once we get to Friday, the rain should be offshore. We should be done with the rain for the holiday weekend from Idalia. Although it's going to sit offshore, potentially moving to the south thanks to an upper level trough, and that's what's going to churn up that rough surf and last all the way into the weekend at the North Carolina coast. Tomorrow and Wednesday are when we see the impacts from Idalia here locally. We're done with the rain for the holiday weekend. That's the good news. High temperatures should be back in the 90s by Labor Day. Dan.
Looks nice. All right. Thanks, Kat.
If you plan to travel over the holiday weekend, you'll likely be paying less at the pump. A look at where gas prices stand now and where they're expected to land. Thousands of troops stationed at Fort Liberty are preparing for deployment.
The 82nd Airborne Division Combat Aviation Brigade Pegasus will deploy 1,500 troops to U.S. Central Command Area of Operations. 1,500 troops will replace the Mississippi Army National Guard. This is in support of the Combined Joint Task Force Operation Inherent Resolve. The timeline of the troops' departure is unclear at this point, but we're told they will deploy in small sections during the coming months. More than 500 people without work now after a North Carolina furniture company closed unexpectedly.
Mitchell Gold and Bob Williams' permanent closure means 533 layoffs. The company had employees working in plants in Taylorsville and Hiddenite, as well as a third location in Statesville. Support will be provided for those who lost their jobs. This is the second furniture company to close in our state this month. Hey, some good news if you plan to hit the road on Labor Day.
Gas prices expected to fall, which is good news ahead of your trip. Right now, the average national price, $3.82. Today, experts released its annual Labor Day travel forecast, and they're predicting the average price on the holiday to fall to $3.75 per gallon nationwide, which is a significant dip. Closer to home, North Carolina's average price even lower, just below $3.54. In Raleigh, it's $3.55, and close to the coast in Wilmington, $3.53.
Labor Day weekend is upon us.
I know.
Thank you for making WRAL your choice for local news.
We got our next newscast for you at 10 o'clock. That's over on Fox 50 and then right back here at 11 o'clock on WRAL. Thanks for being with us. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.